Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I pray that God is keeping you, sustaining you, and watching over your life. Now we are following the journey of Paul, and today we shall start looking at his third missionary journey. And remember, we had concluded his second missionary journey with him going back to Antioch, and he had purposed to go up to Jerusalem. So he had passed through Ephesus, but he was not willing to stay with them, although they urged him, but he told them, I will return to you, God willing, if God wills. And from there, he went to Caesarea, and then he greeted the church there, and then eventually he went to Antioch and Galatia, Phrygia, strengthening the churches, and eventually goes back to, is able to make it to Jerusalem. And then the Bible introduces to us Apollos, who was born in Egypt, Alexandria. He was a Jew, he was eloquent, he was mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. Now, and when he came, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, was fervent in spirit, he taught accurately the things of the Lord, being though he only knew the baptism of John. But then when Aquila and Priscilla, they heard him, they took him aside and explained the word of God more accurately to him. And then they sent him on his way to Achaia, and they commanded the brethren there to receive him. So now Paul, remember, had desired to go to Asia, but the Spirit of Jesus had refused them and forbade them in the second missionary journey. But now when he comes to Ephesus, we see that he is allowed now to go into Asia, and it becomes an opportunity for him to spread the gospel in Asia. Now, Ephesus is unique in that it is one of the places where Paul has some of the greatest ministries in terms of miracles, extraordinary miracles. He has matured in his faith. He has really grown. But beyond that also, it is also where he experiences greatest persecutions. And when he writes to the Corinthian church, he tells them, I want you to be aware of the sufferings that we went through in Ephesus, of how we were troubled even to the point of death. But this happened that we should not rely on our own strength, but we should rely on God. And he says, the God of all comfort will comfort you with the same comfort that we ourselves have received. We comfort you as well. And he also makes a mention of how we fought wild beasts in Ephesus. So there's also a mention of how he fought wild beasts, in that he's telling us that he went through various trials and challenges in Ephesus. And this, not only are they physical animals, but also spiritually, there were significant battles that he faced in Ephesus. But you see, God is not without witness, and what he starts as so small, but it has the ability to change a whole continent. And that is what we're going to read in Acts chapter 9, and we're going to see up to a few of the verses there, and maybe we'll stop just before he deals with these guys who are the sons of Sceva, who attempt to cast out devils, and maybe that's up to around verse 13. But anyway, let's start Acts chapter 19. We have verse 1, the Bible says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, and remember, Apollos is the one who was instructed in the way of the gospel. He is sent there, he is taught by Aquilas and Priscilla, he becomes more accurate, and he's an eloquent man. Remember, he was born in Alexandria, which is Egypt, and Africa was the center of education. Egypt was the center of education of that world. So he was eloquent, but you see, it caused division in the church at Corinth, because there are those who wanted the eloquence and they considered Paul a babbler. But you see, Paul says that my preaching were not with wise words, but it was with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And later on, even when he refutes the false apostles, he said, I am coming to you and I want to see what power these people that speak they have. These super apostles, what is it that they have? And he says that even though people say that my words, I amount to nothing in person, but my words are weighty. Paul was given the gift of writing, the gift of his doctrinal laying of scriptures. He says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and no one can lay any other foundation apart from the foundation of Christ. And so everyone, all believers today, will build on the foundation that Paul laid, because he explored the depth of Christ to its maximum. And now he says everyone can build. And that's why we are challenged to see what materials we build on. Now, having passed through the upper regions, he came to Ephesus. This time the Spirit of Jesus did not refuse him. And finding some disciples, so he finds some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now it is interesting that he's finding believers in Christ, the disciples of Jesus, and he is surprised that they have not heard of the Holy Spirit. And this is almost about 20 years after Pentecost, if you follow the timeline. So the early church, on the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. Later on, about 10 years later, in the house of Cornelius, in the same way they received the Holy Spirit while Peter is preaching. And about 20 years after that time, he is now in Ephesus, and he finds some disciples, and he finds yet they are believers, but they have never heard of the Holy Spirit. And sadly, this is the state of many believers today. They know of the Holy Spirit by name, but they have never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is this analogy that says that if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, yes, you will still get to heaven, but you will get to heaven without experiencing the full expression or the potential that is available for the believer while on earth through the administration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was keen to tell his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That means that there was an empowering that is necessary for the believer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to make them effective witnesses of the gospel. And he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That means that it is necessary to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be an effective witness of the gospel. Ideally, baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate event from salvation. We often think of salvation, and we know that in salvation, the Holy Spirit comes and regenerates our spirits and makes us one with the Spirit of God. There is that communion, there is that koinonia, there is that unity with the Spirit of God. He that is joined to the Spirit of God is one spirit with him. So there is that being made alive, that the Spirit of God comes and unites with our spirit, and we become new creations. We become a new creation. When that happens, we are made alive. But you see, that is just a measure. That is just the measure of the Spirit that is given at the onset. But you see, there is another measure that comes when we receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as a gift. And this is one thing I want you to understand. It is a gift. When Peter is preaching, he tells the church, this gift, this promise is for you, your children, and all who are afar off, whom the Lord will call. All you need to do is repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and times of refreshing shall come. So the main foundation, the main qualification for anyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is that they are believers. The moment they have repented and they have believed in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and have surrendered and submitted themselves to the Lordship of Jesus, they are qualified. to be baptized to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a gift. There is no necessary for a special consecration. There is no necessary for a different time. There is no necessary for I don't know how long it takes to happen. What we see in the scriptures, there is the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift that is received. And what happens is that there is the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, this is what we are seeing even in the Ephesian believers. And maybe let's just read, then we can take some reflections on it. Verse 2, it says, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So it is about receiving. The key word is receiving. The disciples received the Holy Spirit. Even when Peter said, we saw that they received the Holy Spirit the same way. So if you don't receive him, he will not force himself on you. It is your job to receive. Receive the Holy Spirit. When Ananias came and laid his hands on Paul at the point of his conversion, he told them, receive the Holy Spirit. And Paul received the Holy Spirit. When Peter and John, the apostles, were sent to Samaria after Philip had preached the gospel to them and they believed, they were believers. And the Bible says, when they laid their hands on the believers, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon the sorcerer saw that the Holy Spirit was given at the laying on of hands, he said, give me this gift also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands on shall receive the Holy Spirit. That word there is katalambano. That means that you aggressively, by faith, take hold of what God has released. The Holy Spirit is a gift that is available to every believer. And every believer who receives it by faith will be filled with the Holy Spirit and with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. That means that speaking in tongues is freely available for every believer by faith. Jesus said, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. Mark 16:16, in my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. In my name they shall drink deadly poison and it shall not harm them. And in my name they shall speak in new tongues. All these are signs that are for believers. Believers cast out devils. We all agree that. Believers lay their hands on the sick and the sick are healed. We all believe that. Believers will take deadly poison. That means if they are harmed, nothing will harm them. And we all believe that. And why is it that we struggle with believing that believers shall speak in other tongues? Just the words of Jesus. They shall speak in other tongues. That means it is not the Holy Spirit speaking. You know, when the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues, they began to speak. The Bible says, they began to speak. The believers, it is you that speaks. God, what God does is that he comes to your vocal cords. And I know, I can tell you, many people who have struggled to speak in tongues, whenever they are prayed for to speak in tongues, they usually can feel the Holy Spirit just in their mouths. They can feel it on their throat. They can feel that power. They can feel that presence in their heart. There's a tug in their heart. They can feel that sensation in their stomachs. It is just a bubbling forth. And yet they close their mouths, or they are expecting the Holy Spirit to speak on their behalf. No. The moment you feel that, the moment you speak by faith, the Bible says you are filled by faith. By faith, the moment you believe that this gift is a gift, my job is to receive it, to take hold of it by faith, and to begin to speak, I assure you, the day you believe that,
and you open your mouth and you start to speak in tongues, you will find that you are speaking in a language, the heavenly language, and God will give you a language, a fluency. You will find that you are speaking in tongues in a language that only God understands. And I tell you, by faith, you must know that you cannot curse God when you speak in tongues. So there is no fear in it. The Bible tells us, he that speaks in tongues speaks mysteries unto God, and only God understands them. So don't worry with yourself with what does it mean. Your job is to speak in tongues, and it is a form of madness. In fact, to the outside world, you look like you're mad because it will never make sense. But you see, when in that foolishness is where the power of the Holy Spirit lies. By experience, I can tell you, the more I speak in tongues, the more I get revelations and understanding of the things of God. The Bible tells us that build yourself like an edifice, praying in the Holy Ghost. That means that the more you speak in tongues, the more you are built spiritually, the more you are growing in the Spirit, the more you are growing, like if you are to see yourself in the Spirit, like a building, the more you speak in tongues, you are being built up. You're growing spiritually. You're having more revelation. In fact, if you look at what Kenneth Hagin says, he said that he understood that the more he spoke in tongues is the more the gifts of the Holy Spirit were manifested in his life. And this is an experience that every believer will have. The more you speak in tongues, the more you see the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in you. The more you see direction, the more you have insight, the more you have words of knowledge, the more you see visions, the more you see you have words of knowledge, words of understanding, the more you even know what to do. Maybe you are struggling, you don't know what to do. Start to pray in tongues. As you pray in tongues, you will have clarity, because God will speak to your spirit. As you're praying in tongues, you're speaking directly to God. But you're not just praying without your mind in it. As you pray in tongues, what I encourage you is let your inner man be also speaking to God what it is that you need from him. So you can be speaking in tongues, but your spirit is active. Your spirit is communing with God. It's just like the way you can be asking God questions in your heart without even verbalizing it. In your heart, you're silent. You're telling God, God, when will this change? But at the moment, you're speaking in tongues and you're asking God, when will this trouble end? And then I assure you, you'll hear the voice of God in the language of your thought. If you think in English, God will speak to you in English. If you think in Kiswahili, God will speak to you in Kiswahili. If you speak in Bangla, God will communicate to you clearly in Bangla with a message that is in response to what you're asking him for. This gift, in fact, the Bible says, you shall receive power. That word is dunamis. And that word dunamis is where the word dynamite comes from. And it stands for potential power. What is potential power? It means that the more that you use it, the more that you experience the power. It's just like the dynamo in a bicycle. The more you cycle, the more you generate power. That means that God has given every believer a generator. It is now you that determines the level of power, the level of manifestations of the Holy Spirit that will be available for you, to the extent to which you speak in tongues, to the extent to which you generate, you by faith submit yourself to the foolishness of speaking in tongues. In fact, that is the best way we can call it, the foolishness of speaking in tongues. It is that foolishness that is a secret of the anointing, that is a secret of the power of God. It is that is the refreshing. That's what God said, with stammering lips shall I speak to these people. That means that God will speak to his people through the stammering of lips. And he says, this is the rest. One of the things that you will experience when you speak in tongues, you will rest. You enter into rest. You enter into rest. You no longer have worries. Why? Because you have one direct channel to God that speaks to him directly, that demons cannot understand, that prays according to the will of God. The Bible tells us the Spirit intercedes for us with words and groans that words cannot express. And the Spirit himself intercedes for us according to the will of God. You want to pray according to the will of God, pray in tongues. In fact, when you pray in tongues is when you are now praying the will of God. If you don't know the will of God for a situation, let's say maybe you're feeling a troubling in your soul. You don't know what is happening around. Pray in tongues. As you pray in tongues, you will pray. You will feel a release in your spirit. You will know that the answer is given. Why? Because the burden that was in your heart will be lifted. By experience, I can tell you, any believer that does not speak in tongues is not speaking in tongues because God has refused to give him the Spirit. God say that anyone that asks of me, if you ask for a fish, will I give you a snake? If you ask for bread, will I give you a stone? God was saying that if you know how to give good gifts, how much more, if you though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more those who ask of him of the Holy Spirit. If you ask for the Holy Spirit today and you receive him by faith, and you begin to speak in tongues by faith, you will find yourself speaking. And even that which you have started mechanically, you will find that the Spirit will empower you and give you the utterance. Utterance is words. Utterance is a door. It's a gateway in the Spirit. And as that utterance comes, it takes you to another realm. It takes you to another level. It is necessary to speak in tongues. It is absolutely necessary for every believer. And Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And who has the greatest revelations? Paul. Let us read. So they say to him, we have not as much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Verse 3. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who will come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then, verse 6, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. So what is the scripture saying? Now, verse 7, now the men were about 12 in all. So, Paul, after they had this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means they were taken into the water. They came out. And after they were baptized, Paul laid his hands on them through impartation. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke. They spoke. They spoke. There are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke once. And they thought that it was fake. And then they stopped. That's why I called it the foolishness. You have to go back and start praying again. You pray. And the tongues will come back. We are not baptized many times. We are baptized that initial time. What you received that day, you got it that day. Maybe you went somewhere and you're confused that it is not true. It's not happening. Oh, it does not make sense. That which happened on that day, that you had it years back, you were baptized that day. It's only you that did not exercise the gift Timothy was told, fan into flame the gift that was given to you through the laying on of hands of the elders. That means that when Paul was laid hands upon, there's a gift that was imparted on him. And this is the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's told, fan into flame. It is you to keep blowing the wind. You know, it's like charcoal. You have to keep perpetuating. You have to keep blowing such that when the more you blow, the lighter it blows. Your spiritual level as a believer is based on the extent to which you fan into flame the gift. And how do we fan the flame into gift? Is by exercising the foolishness of speaking in tongues. And as you exercise it, you will find that you are even praying for 2 hours. Because the empowerment of the Holy Spirit comes through it. Anyone that prays in their normal language will find that, yes, they pray, but within 30 minutes, if they are strong, they are tired. But meet someone that prays in tongues, you'll find they go for 6 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And the beauty of speaking in tongues is that you can speak in tongues under your breath. You don't even need to speak loudly. In fact, the mature people will learn this, that you can speak in tongues under your breath. While you're working, you can be speaking in tongues. While you're waiting for an interview, you can be speaking in tongues. While you are in the same bed with your spouse and you don't want to disturb them, you can be speaking in tongues under your breath. The foolishness of speaking in tongues will make the difference between you and someone else who is the same believer. Exercise. Salvation is free. The initial infilling is free. But now the consecration and for you the fanning into flame makes the distinctions between the believers. I pray that God will give us insight into it. And you that are not filled, receive the Holy Spirit today. I tell you, people have received it in the most foolish ways. Even on phone. I've prayed for someone and they spoke in tongues through. I've laid hands on people and they spoke in tongues. People have received tongues while they were showering. They were prayed for, maybe on the altar, it didn't happen. But as they showered, as they gave glory to God, they started speaking in tongues. I have one of the members, I prayed for them. Nothing happened initially. But later on, I come back and she said, Pastor, what you prayed on me happened. I was just worshiping God in my room and I started speaking in tongues. All this will happen if you believe. But the moment you don't believe, forget about it. It will not happen and it will never happen. I pray that God will give you and you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. And by faith, your children receive this moment, this precious gift. And through the speaking in tongues, they experience the dimension, the realm that is available by faith for them in the Holy Spirit. May your power, anointing rest upon them. May your spirit rest upon them. May your divine presence enshadow them. May they experience the rest of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and blessed day.